protection, effective in 2027. Right now, the Diamondbacks and Orioles are tied at 5 at the top of the ninth inning. The Red Sox, a 7-1 lead at Minnesota in the top of the fifth.
Fox Sports Update on KPRL, brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, Wine Down Wednesday, and specials Thursday through Saturday. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your agribusiness update. Well, six candidates running to be California's next governor say if elected, they'd roll back regulations that have made it challenging to farm in that state. Former Los Angeles Mayor Democrat Antonio Villaraigosa referred to a Cal Poly San Luis Obispo study that found the cost for California lettuce growers to comply with the state's environment, labor, and food safety regulations increased by more than 1,300% from 2006. To 2024. Villaraigosa says that's unsustainable. The USDA's Farm Service Agency has reopened the acreage reporting period to give producers more time to complete the 2025 crop acreage reports for eligible ASCF crops, including apples, pears, and cherries. With an original deadline of March 13th, growers now have until April 24th to contact their local county FSA office to verify acreage. In response to a proposed settlement agreement between John Deere and the U.S. District Court in Northern Illinois regarding right to repair claims, National Farmers Union President Rob LaRue says when critical equipment breaks down, farmers must be able to make timely repairs themselves or work with a trusted mechanic. LaRue says the settlement underscores the urgent need for federal right to repair laws that permanently guarantee farmers access to repair tools on fair and reasonable terms.
When proven genetics matter, cattlemen turn to Linsco's LT Ranch. Join them Saturday, April 18th, 11 o'clock at their sale facility in Isabel, South Dakota for their 45th annual bull sale. Selling 274 Charlet, 323 Angus, and 56 Hereford bulls, developed for performance, longevity, and backed by their customer buyback program. For videos and a catalog, visit linscosltranch.com. And remember, bid live at DB Auction or liveag.com.
Today, we're talking with aphids and whiteflies about Safina insecticide from BASF.
We just got nailed with it.
So tell us, how you feeling?
Really, really weird.
And you still want to devour this field?
No way, bro.
There you have it, folks. Safina insecticide is specifically engineered to disorient aphids and whiteflies so they can't eat. And when they can't eat, they can't destroy.
Help protect your alfalfa from aphids with Safina insecticide. Always read and follow label directions.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with today's Agribusiness Update.
Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News Update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Stuart Varney, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The major averages are mixed in afternoon trading on strong bank earnings and as investors await any progress on an Iran deal. The NASDAQ is on track for its 11th straight session of gains, its longest winning streak in 4.5 years, while the S&P 500 has hit its first intraday record high since the U.S.-Iran war began and is on track for a record close. The Magnificent Seven big cap tech stocks are rallying for a second day, and Allbirds, a floundering shoe company once embraced by Silicon Valley's techies, is raising capital and moving into artificial intelligence computing infrastructure, and Wall Street is liking that move, with its stock jumping over 600%. And shares of Broadcom are popping 3%. The chipmaker is expanding its partnership with Meta Platforms to provide the Facebook parent with more custom artificial intelligence chips. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
I'm alpine skier Michaela Schifrin. I've won the most World Cup ski races in history. But what does success mean to me? Success means discipline. It's teamwork. It's the drive and passion inside of us. And it's why Stifel is one of the fastest growing global wealth management firms in the country. If you're looking for success, surround yourself with the people who will get you there. If you're an advisor or investor, choose Stifel, where success meets success.
Stifel Nicolaus & Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
Past performance is no indication of future results. Investing involves risk. Consult a financial advisor before making any investment decisions.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
American Legends, next on KPRL. Brought to you by Davis Body Shop.
A bill going through Congress may put an end to some of the silly projects your money's being wasted on. I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by Mills Construction. For architectural, metal, roofing, and siding, call Aaron at 610-1256.
The federal government recently spent $500,000 to find out that when people are angry, stop smoking, or hear loud noises, they clench their jaws. Yes, it was one of those studies approved by the National Science Foundation. The researcher, Roland Hutchison of Kalamazoo State Hospital in Michigan, spent 7 years working his way through the study of wasps, boa constrictors, rats, and monkeys before he got to human beings. Among his findings was that monkeys, quote, became angry when they were shocked and would try to get away from the shock, unquote. He also learned at taxpayer expense that drunk monkeys do not usually react as quickly or as often as sober monkeys, and that hungry monkeys get angry more quickly than well-fed monkeys. When he got to people, Mr. Hutchison discovered, quote, that people get angry when they feel cheated and tend to clench their jaws or even scream and kick, unquote. I couldn't be happier to hear that. For a while there, I was beginning to think I might be a monkey. Are you sick of hearing stories of your money being spent on projects of this stripe? Well, so was Congressman Robert Bauman, a young second-termer from Maryland. When the National Science Foundation's annual budget was up for approval recently, Bob Bauman proposed an amendment requiring the foundation to provide the Congress with a 30-day notice of proposed grants, during which period either the Senate or the House would have the chance to pass a resolution vetoing any grant. Any grants not disapproved by either chamber would become effective after the 30 days. In support of his amendment, Congressman Bauman cited complaints his office had received concerning such grants as, quote, $6,000 to study Polish bisexual frogs, $70,000 to study the smell of perspiration given off by Australian Aborigines, and $2.6 million to study the sex life of crabs, unquote. Miracles will happen even in the 94th Congress. Bob Bauman's amendment passed the House by 212 to 199. The National Science Foundation was somewhat stunned by this development. It wasn't so much that they thought many of their grants would be vetoed should the amendment become law. It's just that the mere threat of a veto would have prevented many of the more absurd projects from ever being approved in the first place. So they beat a path to their friends on the Senate side, hoping to stop the Bauman amendment there. Fortunately for them, the chairman of the relevant subcommittee is a friend of theirs, Senator Edward Kennedy. He called the Bauman amendment an attempt, quote, by members of Congress to act as censors, unquote. Then the senator attempted to prevent Congressman Bauman from appearing before the subcommittee, which of course wasn't censorship. Other committee members intervened in Bauman's behalf. Still, the amendment faces rough going in the Senate. If you're tired of seeing your tax dollar used to invade the privacy of bisexual frogs and amorous crabs, you might write your senators urging passage of the Bauman Amendment to the National Science Foundation appropriation. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan, in his own voice, brought to you by Mills Construction, specializing in pre-engineered metal buildings. Call Aaron at 610-1256.
KPRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Welcome to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vili. I am your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I'm also an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News. Go to Cal Coast News. There is no paywall. And today we're going to get into a difficult subject, child molestation. And the statistics are, these are statistics from years ago, so they may have changed, but it's about 1 in 4 girls will be molested in her while she's a child. 1 in 4. So this is a very common issue in our country. Sometimes it's a neighbor. Sometimes it's a stranger. Sometimes it's a relative. It is a problem that impacts many, many families. And today we're going to get into a couple different cases. We're going to be talking about where I have a mother coming on the show. I'm not going to use her real name. We're going to be talking. There is a current case going through the court system. And they're Paso Robles family. There is a man that abused 3 different young girls. And we're going to be talking about not only what happened there, how it was reported, what it's like going through the process when the police officers get involved. And then also, what does this do to your family? What does, whether it's a family member or not, what are the impacts of this type of behavior on your family, on your child, on the parents, on the community? There's a lot going on here. And we're also going to get into how do prosecutors see this as compared to the old days. So for those that remember, decades ago, you used to be, if you reported a child molestation case, sometimes you were lucky to have it go anywhere. Oh, it's his word against hers. It's this, it's that. Well, it doesn't sound like it was that big a deal. That isn't happening anymore. I rarely hear anyone say, I don't think anyone took my complaint seriously. And instead, I believe this is massively important to not only law enforcement, police officers, deputies, but also prosecutors, also people in the victim witness office, also social workers. This is taken very strongly. The one time I see it not taken strongly, and I will say this, is schools. I have repeatedly, I probably hear once a year, of at least once a year, of it being reported to school administration where they end up burying it and making sure that it doesn't become public. As many of you know, in San Luis Obispo, in the school district there, there were multiple reports of a number of coaches over probably a 20-30 year period of time who appeared to be predators of children. And this was really pushed not to do anything. Don't tell anyone. Don't have it come out. The districts had trouble in San Luis Obispo. The districts had trouble in Morro Bay. I would say 70% of all complaints I have are that district. So it does appear that it still happens where they try to avoid telling people about it and bringing it out to the public. But again, I think it's very important to continue talking about it, to continue bringing up the issues. And again, there are still some times where family members try to talk other family members not to report. you know, it's embarrassing, it's untowardly. But as I have noticed, it's usually when it's not reported, the people have more and more victims and more people are involved. I'm going to bring a little bit of an update. I have a guest today. I put the she'll be here shortly. And she is here now. Welcome to the show. I'm just going to call you a mom because a mom's an easier thing to say. I don't want to put your name out there. I don't want to identify the family members. I don't want to involve anyone. I don't want anybody to be able to say, wait, I know them. That's this family. So I'm just going to call you a mom if that's okay to make it easy. And how are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Are you... And I'm sorry I made it difficult to get here.
That's okay.
I put a number wrong in the address, and she called me from blocks away, and I realized I gave her the wrong address. And it was like, oops. So that's why we had a few minutes late on being in the studio. I started by telling the public about how this has gone on. The history of our country is marred in this. And years ago, decades ago, there was a lot of reporting that didn't go anywhere. And there are still some, especially with school districts. I have seen school districts attempt to get parents to let it go. It wasn't a big deal. We're not sure what happened. But when it comes to police officers, deputies, and the district attorney's office, and victims witness, I see a very aggressive compared to aggressive to stop it compared to what it was 20, 30 years ago. But I want to start by just kind of describing. So you have a large family.
I do. I have 7 kids.
And you have a variety of ages.
Yes, I do.
And I'm going to tell a little bit about how this started. So you're from a close-knit family. They have uncles and cousins. And tell me, how did you learn that some of the other cousins might have been molested by a family member?
Well, I never thought that in the family, like, that could happen. I always heard about it, but I thought, like, that wasn't a big deal to me at the beginning. Then one time, you know, like, we opened the doors to family thinking, like, oh, they're family, nothing's going to happen. We just trust them. And then we learned that we should not trust anyone because sometimes the closest people is the one that, you know, we'll get things bad.
You know, and that statement's kind of, I know that this is very fresh, but that statement, when you have family, I don't think most people do this. I think it's a bad thing, but I hope that you'll be able to trust some people again in the future. So the cousins, who told you that the cousins were having issues?
So it all started because one cousin opened everything up. One day she said, one of my uncles touched me and everything just started there. We kind of questioned everyone. And then obviously I questioned my daughters and my daughter was just start eyeballing and said, I always thought that it was just a bad dream. And she just started crying. And after this day, I still feel guilty of letting family members come in the family, opening my doors, helping them out from even when they move here with nothing. I still open the door for them and help them out. And I was never expecting that to happen.
And so in the end, did you call law enforcement and call...
As soon as my daughter told me what was going on, the next day I went to the police station. I filed a report. They start investigating. After this day, still the case is going on after over 2 years. I'm still waiting for that person to pay. And I'm not asking for anything else but for him to pay for what he did. That's what I'm asking for.
And so... Your daughter is doing well in life. This happened when the child was under 10 and now she isn't legally an adult. I'm not going to give any more information. But how has your daughter, has there been some frustration and stress in her life because of this?
I never understood at the beginning what happened, because obviously, like, we find out years later, when my daughter was little, she used to tell me that she was scared to sleep by herself. And I thought, well, maybe it's just being a kid. I let her sleep in my room and stuff like that. Then she would tell me she had bad dreams. I took her to so many places for her to get better. I never thought that that's what happened. Then when everything opened up, my daughter, up to this day, my daughter takes medication. Even though she has to go to school and everything, she still thinks it's her fault. It has not been easy to take your daughter to therapists, psychologists, to make her think that maybe she's crazy. No, she's not. She got traumatized. Kids do get traumatized. It changes their lives.
And in your case, this uncle, who is related to your husband, he wasn't around your children very often, was he?
He was not. We had family gatherings maybe once a month or so, or maybe on holidays. Not that often that I would worry about it or anything, or think about anything else. I never, ever, ever in my mind crossed that a family member could do that.
And so when this happened, how did your husband react to the news?
When I talked to my daughter that day and she started crying, I knew something had happened. I immediately called my husband. And then he says, what's going on? My husband, as soon as he find out, my husband had a heart attack. Up to these days, he still has to go to the doctor every 6 to 8 weeks because his eye just got kind of paralyzed, so he can't really see. He couldn't believe it, coming from the family, doing that to our daughter. People that we trust, that we see every day, that think it's family. I just don't know what to say.
And one of the main things that I see in this is the trauma this causes to a family. And think about it. If it's 1 in 4 girls, this happens in a lot of families. This isn't one group. This isn't just certain people. It's against all economic regions. It's against all issues. It's rich people, poor people, all different races. Everyone, this is a huge problem in this country. And again, it was 1 out of 4 decades ago. I haven't looked it up recently, but it's usually been a fairly high amount of girls that have this type of trauma in their lives. How often did she say the uncle did this to her?
I don't think my daughter says the whole truth, because she doesn't want to hurt our family anymore. Obviously, we had so much stuff going on at that moment. We have to go to therapy. We have to go to different doctors. Still up to this day, it's something that still there. It hurts to talk about it. But as far as I know, it was at least 4 times. I know she's not telling me the whole truth, because I'm her mom. She doesn't want to hurt me.
So she wants to minimize it.
Yes.
And I think that is also common. I've had a lot of people come to me, especially when it's involving a teacher or a coach, and they regularly say, my daughter said once, then she said this. And then more of the truth came out. And the children blame themselves sometimes.
I think a lot of the times.
Did he never harmed any of your other children? Just the one?
As far as I know, my other kids say no. It's only her. Because I would think she's my weakest girl at that moment. I don't know.
I don't know why they pick the people they pick. and why they, what makes them look at one child. Very often it's only one child. Very often if there's a group of children in a family, there's one that they're focused on. They don't see, you know, there's obviously exceptions to every rule. But there's often those issues. So this happens, you do the right thing, and I'm telling you, a lot of people wait to tell law enforcement. You went the next day. You cared for your community, you cared for your family, you went right out and did it. But then you had to start doing things that they needed you to do for the prosecution and going to psychologists. It was taking time. And now, was your husband off work for some time because of the heart attack?
Yes. Yes, my family went through a lot at that moment. When we start doing all the process, they did offer something about, the state can pay you guys for the loss of this. The state cannot pay us for all the pain. So it's not about the money. It is really not. We just wanted this to never happen.
And I know that they have victim witness. And when I first talked to you, part of the fear was they're going to look at him. He owns a business. He does well. He's hired a good attorney. And your fear at that time was that it wasn't going to be taken as important because of his standing in the community.
Yes, up to this day, he's still out with the bail. He does own a business. He does walk around like nothing ever happened. He does walk around like we own him something, and we don't. That's why I say, all I'm asking is for him to pay for what he did. That's all it is.
I will tell you, I know that the district attorney's office takes these things seriously, but I also know that the court is so full. There is so much in the courthouse. I think some of these frivolous lawsuits and some of the people that fight things that they shouldn't be fighting because they know they did it, there isn't, I know the court is backed up, but they have told you they're taking this very seriously.
They are. The prosecutor told me that she also has kids. She also wants to make sure he pays. I know he's paying a good attorney. I know he has the money. But I also know he probably has the right to be out because they can't do nothing about it. But I believe in God, and I know that sooner or later he will pay for what he did.
And is your daughter had problems after he did this when you was young and you didn't know what caused it. Is it empowering her at all yet? Do you think she's still nervous as it's going through the court system?
I say now that she's an adult, I think for the first time not too long ago, we talked about it and she told me, Mom, I'm not the little kid no more. I know he can't hurt me no more. And I'm going to be in court the day I have to be there. And I want him to pay and I'm not going to let it go. So I feel that she has being weak in the past, but now she's very strong. She's going to be okay. I just have to tell that to myself every day.
And I've watched some of these cases, and I've seen how these young women testify and the strength. You know, a lot of times they are women when they come forward. A lot of times when it happens, even before 10, they're in their, you know, late teens or 20s when they actually go to court. And I believe I've seen some of these women feel very empowered. And it has to, if you were afraid all those years because this man would come into your house and now you feel safe, that is something in itself.
I know my daughter at the beginning, she was more afraid of. We come from a different culture. My family, obviously, there is that system where they said, oh, your parents are immigrants. My husband at that moment was an immigrant, like with no papers. And that's how he used to do whatever he wanted with her, with my daughter. Because he used to tell my daughter, like, oh, if you tell people, I'm going to call the immigration and tell your parents, your dad is illegal, so he can go back to Mexico.
They used that against your family?
Yes, they did.
So your daughter had to keep this because her dad could be punished.
She was afraid for her family to be split. So now she knows that my husband is not illegal anymore, and that's why she's not afraid no more. She just wanted her family to be together no matter what.
We're going to take a break. A word from our sponsors.
Usually a reviewer, but I had an amazing experience at Davis Body Shop. From start to finish, the experience was ideal. Everyone was friendly, helpful, and professional. They kept me updated, did quality work, and had me in and out. No hassles, and returned my vehicle to me in perfect condition.
If you ever have an accident and need to repair your car, you could do what Ann did from Paso Robles. She took her car to Davis Body Shop. And Peggy from Atascadero said,
our family needed repairs to one of our cars, and friends had recommended Davis Body Shop. We were very pleased with their helpfulness, their attention to detail that was provided to us. They explained the process and kept us updated as repairs were made. They also assisted us in securing a rental car. I would definitely recommend them to anyone who needs repairs to a car.
Davis Body Shop is the area's largest auto body collision specialist on El Camino Real at Atascadero and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
Do you worry about where to take your car for repairs? Who you can trust? Mike and his team at the Autobahn are a safe bet. Located in Templeton, behind the donut shop, just off Main Street. They service Mercedes, BMWs, Volkswagens, Porsches, and Audis. And the Autobahn is certified in those cars and in repairing Land Rovers, Volvos, and Mini Coopers. Call the Autobahn, 434-2200.
To Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely. I'm your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I'm also an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News. Go to Cal Coast News. There is no paywall. And today I have a mom on the show, and we are talking about a current case going through the system and talking about a case of child molestation, a mom with a family member, and the impacts. When this happened, how many brothers and sisters does your husband have?
He has, quietly, he has two brothers and four sisters. One passed away.
And so are they primarily in this area?
They all live in the United States. They used to live in Mexico, half and half, but now they all live in the United States.
And your husband is a citizen. The person accused of the crime is now a citizen. So he threatened your daughter that it would harm her dad and that he was illegal and he would have him deported. And so your daughter was afraid to tell. And when this came out, how did your husband's family, his sisters and brothers, are they supporting you or are they supporting him?
They are supporting us as far as I know. Obviously, the sister at some point came over to our house. And I have to put a restraining order because they will come to my house and like wanted to talk to my husband or the parents, which is their parents, my in-laws. And they will tell me like, oh, I want to talk to him. I want to like tell them that your daughter is lying. And I said, go ahead, go for it. Tell your parents that my daughter, the daughter that they sat, you know, growing up as their own daughter is lying. She knew that my daughter was not lying. If I was her, I would be worried that my own kids are safe, her own kids. But after this day, she still thinks that my daughter is lying, and I know she's not.
Is this his wife?
That's his wife.
So she is the only one that is aggressively fighting for him is his wife?
Yes.
And they have children in the home?
They have two girls and one boy. One is in the service, and I believe that that's why they think that they'll get away too, because one of their kids is on the military, And he has been in court while we're there. And like I told you, they walk around like we are wrong and they're right. They're not right by touching girls. They're not right by molesting those girls. They have no right to make them feel that they are guilty.
And there are three cousins have come forward now. You have a total of, are they all from three different families?
Yes.
So three different families of his siblings have come forward and say he also molested their children.
Yes.
And you were supposed to go to trial a few months back. I've talked to you the day before, you were, or the week before, and you were concerned and had some concerns about the case, but then it got put off.
Up to this date, I'm still concerned because, like I told you guys, like before, he owns a business here. He does have the money. He's been in bail for all this time. My question is he getting away with this? That's why he's out. We had court in this month in April, but they say that the court is too full right now, so they took it all the way to August. I just want this to end. We've been doing this for almost 2 years or more. We need to close this case. I just want my family to keep going. At this point, it's just like suffering every single day.
And I will tell you, even attorneys, there. I know this is going to sound odd, but there's an attorney judges thing in this county. And so all the attorneys, I think it's every 2 years, they vote for what judges are good and what judges are bad. And it used to be other reasons, but right now is they just keep putting cases off. And it is, when you have a legal case, whether it's, you know, whether it's criminal or civil, and it's, you know, per the statutes, it should be over, and they just keep putting it off. I've seen civil things go over 5 years in this county. I've seen criminal go for years and years and years. So it is very hard, I would think, on the children, knowing they're going to have to go in and testify, and it keeps getting extended.
It keeps getting extended, and it just damaged the families. Like my daughter now is an adult. She is in college. So it's hard for her to keep going with her life. It's hard for her to concentrate in school, especially when she knows, like, court day is coming, and she has to have finals that week, and it's just hard. So they should take more serious about those cases that really matter. Those kids matter. And he's out there probably doing it to another girl. Who knows? Who knows?
And I think the timing is generally the court and the judges. But there are times I've seen attorneys, you know, attorneys play, I've seen attorneys who do play games and want to delay and, oh, we need this. Oh, we have a new attorney. Oh, we have more evidence. Oh, we need this. And they think that time is going to correct it. But I don't think with three witnesses, you have anything to worry about when this goes to court. This isn't one child or one family. This is three families and three different children telling very similar stories.
I will not worry until the day the case is closed and they say how long he's gonna go. And then I will feel relief and I will believe that God did the right thing with my family.
I will tell you, under the district attorney we have right now, District Attorney Dan Dow, I believe he takes child molestation cases as strongly as I've ever seen a district attorney, and they're very important to him. We're gonna take a break, a word from our sponsors, and we will be back with more with a mom I'm speaking to.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.